Hello, everybody. I am Blaine Gilmer. Welcome to another episode of the Second to None podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm here with my co-host, Tavares King, as we are going to bring you some rapid reaction from the weekend that was here on this Monday. So we're going to be covering our reaction to Kentucky taking down Florida, Georgia, and Alabama just absolutely dismantling their foes this week at home. Everything that happened in the SEC, we'll have a little rapid reaction for you. But we're also going to go ahead and hit our previews a little bit earlier in the week. And TK, it was a fun weekend of college football. A lot of stuff happened that we thought would, and some stuff happened that we were little taken back by. But I don't know if we should be. What was your overall take on the weekend?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a good one. We knew it was going to be exciting. Another good weekend, another good Monday to be a dog, go Dogs. But man, we learned a lot about some teams this weekend, and I'm excited to chop it up and talk about it today.
Absolutely. Guys, we're streaming here on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button, turn on notifications. We'd love for you to do that because there's plenty of content that comes across on the channel. Also, shout out to the Sideline Sports Network at @sidelines_SN and @SSN_collegeFB. They do a lot for us on the social media side of things. But TK, we did want to, you know, touch on our rapid reactions in terms of what's going on with the perennial powers, it seems, in the SEC, Georgia and Alabama. They seem to be on a collision course once again. And, TK, I'm not sure you could have two more dominant performances than Alabama and Georgia turned in.
Yeah, man, both of them were extremely dominant. I think that Alabama saw what we did at noon and followed suit, bro. They were like, they look good. We got to look just as good. So, man, it was an incredible day for the two teams. And, man, our defense, bro. I gotta say sorry, fellas, to you guys publicly, because I said that they were gonna score, I think, 14 points on y'all, and y'all shut them out. Y'all look absolutely terrific. That dude, our front seven is monstrous. N'Kobe is a monster. And the thing that I love the most is that they're interchangeable, super interchangeable. Their running back made jokes all week, laughed at Nolan Smith's comments about the Patriots. And
you saw the picture I got on the field. I was on the field team. I got that picture of Kirby Smart's son and Jordan Davis up there. You know, he said, what's funny? He was holding up that board right there, Andrew
Smith. Right. Yeah, man. He thought it was pretty funny what Nolan said, and we got the last laugh.
No doubt. Georgia's defense is something you can always bet on to kind of stand up and be strong. And speaking of betting, guys, we are back and better than ever on Bet Online. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online, it continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo BLEAV, that's Believe, to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for this 2021 season. Bet Online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. And TK, like I said, you can always bet on that Georgia defense to stand up. Once again, holding a team under 100 yards rushing, Arkansas only had 75 yards, a total of 167 yards, I believe, on the day, 82 yards passing. And you and I were talking before, I said, well, Georgia only had 72 yards passing themselves. You're like, well, they didn't have to throw the ball. They could just keep running. They were getting 5, 6, 7 yards a clip, it seemed like, over there. And that running back core and offensive line really leaned on that three-man front. You and I said that that Arkansas would have trouble with that three-man front of, you know, they would have to really rally to the ball quickly, and they just weren't able to close those gaps up quick enough. So Georgia, a dominating performance. And TK, you know, when it comes to Alabama, something about them is that they were really helped out a lot, I feel like, by Lane Kiffin's decision making. And that's something that you wanted to bring up here as one of your key points from the weekend.
Yeah, I said I was rolling with my dog. I said I was on the Lane train, and greed killed my man. You know, right there at the beginning of the game, three straight times, we're going to go for it on fourth down. And it kind of bit him in the butt. You know, they got three touchdowns off of that. And then the next possession, we throw a pick, and they score off that. So, just a rough that's a rough way to start a game, dude. And that being said, you kind of got to do things to help your team.
Yeah, absolutely. Three straight fourth down, you know, failures in your own territory on a couple of them. And, you know, Alabama's going to take advantage of that. So, next on our rapid reactions here, Kentucky, TK, they kept Florida out of the end zone. Eight tries there at the end of the game. And, you know, that's just something that you've seen that happen with Georgia not too long ago with Florida. A couple years ago, they were able to hold Georgia out like that. But Kentucky's defense able to do that on there. Pretty impressive stand by Mark Stoops' defense over there.
Super impressive, man. That defense is probably, in my opinion, the second best defense in the East of the SEC. But I think they're really good. They fly around. They play sound football. They play sound defense. They fly to the ball. I think that Mark Stoops has that defense rolling, and they're an intricate part of why they're winning.
No doubt, no doubt. And then, you know, when you look at guys like a Jaquez Jones, who was the leading tackler for Ole Miss last year, now he's with Kentucky over there doing his thing, just flying around, smacking fools in the mouth. I mean, just and liking it. You know, I mean, he is getting fired up after plays. DeAndre Square, speaking of square, that dude will square you up in the hole, TK. I mean, he is him and Yusef Corker, all those guys over there just rallied to the ball so well. So Kentucky really playing some defense. And our final rapid reaction here. You sent this in a text message to me, TK. You said Bo Nix must be Lamar Jackson Nix Jr. because he was making LSU's tackling woes look like. Man, I mean, LSU is just not very solid tackling. And we know Bo Nix is a good athlete, but he ain't you know, Patrick Mahomes out there doing stuff.
Nah, bro, they was making my man look like Lamar Jackson Jr. out there. Yeah. It was crazy. The missed tackles, and we've talked about it before, the missed tackles, and they would have them. Like, they put themselves in a position to make a great play, and somehow he'd weasel up out of there. But yo, hats off to him. You know, the Auburn staff for getting that job done, going down there and getting a big dub. That was huge. It was huge. It was awesome to see.
No doubt, in Baton Rouge, it's been a long time coming, a couple of decades, I think, since they did that in Baton Rouge. I mean, it's been almost a couple of decades. And the other thing I wanted to mention, TK, is Josh Heupel. We said it in that Florida game. They were close in halftime with Florida. They went to Missouri and hung 62 on them boys, rushed for over 450 yards on the day. We'll get talking about that when we do our preview of their South Carolina game later on. But I just want to encourage everybody on that that's a Tennessee fan out there. Josh Heupel's got you going in the right direction over there. He's really doing his thing. That Tyon Evans and those guys running the football.
Yeah, I would have to agree, bro. He's finding a way to get his playmakers involved, and scoring 62 points in our league is extremely hard. And scoring 62 points against an SEC opponent is very hard. So I feel like he's got some good things going up in Tennessee.
Absolutely, guys. And that is our rapid reaction for this week. So from week five of SEC play, we were trying to see, you know, we called it Separation Saturday, right? Who would separate themselves from the pack? And it looks like Georgia and Alabama have certainly done that. Kentucky's given themselves a shot. They've still got some stuff with their offense to get worked out. And today we're going to be previewing two games. So two teams looking to bounce back this week, Arkansas and Ole Miss. They were on the receiving end of those beatdowns from Georgia and Alabama, respectively, there. Arkansas on the road. Once again, they get another early kickoff, TK. That's got to be tough on that team. You know, 12 o'clock in Athens, that kind of atmosphere. Now you're going into Oxford, and you know Lane Kiffin and his antics throughout the week. He's going to do everything he can to try to rally the Oxford troops, you know, down there and get that Ole Miss Stadium rocking. So, you know, just first thoughts here before we get too deep into the preview with this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be another tough environment for the Razorbacks. I think that Coach Pittman and staff will have those guys ready to roll, though. I think that, Coach, like you said, Coach Kiffin's going to do his thing all week. But I think that Coach Pittman is a coach that understands, you know, that he was in a good game. He was in a big game. And I think that those cats will learn from, you know, the week prior, the early game and being in a hostile environment and learn from it.
No doubt. And, you know, yeah, your man Lane Kiffin over there before that beatdown with Alabama took place, he would say, "Get your popcorn ready." He pulled the TO out there in the pregame interview, and Nick Saban.
Hey, it was at that moment I knew.
Oh yeah, well, you know, it's Nick Saban. if it was pro wrestling, Nick Saban would have pulled the Rock promo there. He would have said, "He said, I see your popcorn. I'm gonna take that popcorn and I'm gonna turn that SOB sideways and shove it right up your candy, you know," because that is what they did. Man, they just absolutely took it to it. Now, I will say this to your point: Lane Kiffin was greedy in that game, right? And we already said that as part of our rapid reaction. I know that he's coaching to win the game, and he's saying, hey, if you're not aggressive against Alabama, you got no shot. But, TK, going for it on fourth down on your own 27-yard line when you're already in a deficit, punt the ball. At least Alabama has to go the full length of the field or closer to it to score against you. And I know what message does that say? I know you're trying to say, hey, I've got confidence in my offense to get 2 yards, but what – does that say to your defense? That pretty much lets your defense know, hey, I don't have any confidence that y'all can stop them anyway, so it doesn't matter if we're 27 yards away or 67 yards away.
Or it says the latter. I mean, I got confidence in the defense. But, I mean, man.
There shouldn't be that level of confidence yet in that Ole Miss defense. I mean, no, I know they're better this year.
Yeah, I mean, it could say the latter. It could give those guys confidence in that, you know, coach is going for it back here. But it definitely puts pressure on him. But, man, I definitely think that Lane Kiffin's reckless abandon got to him. It 100% got to him. But, you know, we're sitting here on Monday. If they get those, we're probably talking about a whole different ball game. You know what I'm saying? And that's probably how he's viewing it.
He probably hadn't. I mean, I'm sure it's ate at him a little bit, but Lane seems like a guy. He just is like a duck. That stuff's gonna roll right off his back, man. I mean, he's not gonna lose too much sleep over it. But Ole Miss, a 5-point favorite going into this one against Arkansas, TK. That's a little bit interesting to me. I feel like that would be more closer to a kind of a field goal game, just because of, I think Arkansas is a stout group. Defensively, I know they're going to have that 3-man front, and I know Georgia ran the ball on them, but I think that they're going to be able to keep Matt Corral and company from having too many big plays deep because of the style of defense they play, you know, with that drop and eight, that kind of stuff. You know, what do you think about Ole Miss being a 5-point favorite at home, and the over-under on this one is 65.5?
Yeah, I mean, I like the over-under. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this game, I think. 5-point favorite for Ole Miss. I like it. Again, I'm on the Lane train. I mean, I think that Matt Corral is very special. I think he can kill you on his feet, can kill you with his arms, and I think that they got playmakers that are special out wide. Again, that three-man front, man, I don't like it, and I think that this week, that read option from Matt Corral would be integral.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about the playmakers, I thought that at times if Ole Miss could have been a little bit more patient in things, you know, Jerrion Ealy, they got the ball out to him in the flat some. He made some guys from Alabama miss. Then, of course, they had Henry Parrish and Snoop Connor. Those guys are good players. Dontario Drummond made some tough catches where those Alabama safeties were just screaming up on those slants and laid him out a couple times, but you know, some tough catches right there. Braylon Sanders was open deep one time, had a touchdown catch that hit him right in the hands that he dropped that would have made that one at 21-7, I think, early on. But, you know, I think that obviously Ole Miss is going to get theirs. But my question is, TK, can they stop Arkansas from just lining up and running down their throats? Because that's what Alabama did to them. I mean, Alabama brought in extra linemen, tight ends, things like that. And you know that Arkansas is willing to play that game, you know, punch for punch with them. So, yes. Overall, you think they stop the run, and then you can go ahead and give your prediction on this one too.
Yeah, man, I honestly think they struggle to stop the run, which is why I think this score is going to be kind of high. Obviously, I think that Coach Kiffin and that Ole Miss offense gets it done a little bit, gets it going a little bit. But from an Ole Miss defensive perspective, I think that KJ Jefferson and Treylon Smith are special what they do with the read option as well. And although Treylon Smith struggled, last week, he's a special player. And I think that you know, him and KJ Jefferson can get it done as well. As once they start getting it done, we already know up top Pork Chop, my man, Treylon Burks, know what he can do. So it's going to be an interesting week. Ole Miss, 5-point favorite. I do like them to get it done. I think, I think that's about accurate, 5 points. But I'm going to go Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss taking them down.
I got you. So, and you said you're going to take the over on this one too?
Yeah, I like it.
You think Ole Miss covers?
Yep.
All right, so he likes them by more than five, and he didn't say that the combined total is over 65.5. I like Arkansas to be able to run the ball too, but I'm going to take Ole Miss to win this one at home. I just think being in back-to-back road environments the way that they were, you know, it affected Arkansas. They had several false start penalties, things like that. You saw that their two big wins came at home and on a neutral site. So now they've got to learn real quick in 6 days to take the lessons that they learned from Georgia and apply it to going into Oxford. You know that crowd's going to be pumped up, ready to go. I like Ole Miss to win this one at home as well, just because I think Matt Corral will have room with his legs to be able to impact this game. I like Dontario Drummond and those guys to get it done underneath there, using Jerrion Ealy and Henry Parrish, Snoop Connor as well. So I'm going to take Ole Miss to win this one 35. I'm taking them to win it 35-21. I think Arkansas slows the game around. So I'm going to take the under, but I'm going to take Ole Miss to cover and win this one, just because I think Arkansas is going to be banged up after that game against Georgia too, TK. So got a lot of recovering to do. As you said the other day, you got to ice and stem and all that kind of stuff to get recovered after that one. But TK and I both like Ole Miss to take this game against Arkansas. That is a 12 Eastern kickoff, so it'll be 11 Central time, a real early call for those guys over there. Okay, now moving on to our second game that we're going to preview, LSU at Kentucky. I took LSU to win that game at home last week against Auburn. I thought LSU would surely get their running game going a little bit against Auburn, TK, but you and I have said that the inability to run the football for LSU is very, very troubling, and it's going to cost them a lot throughout this year. TK, they had 33 rushing yards against Auburn this past week. 33 rushing yards in an SEC game. Really quite pathetic. I mean, Vanderbilt, I think, had more rushing yards on Georgia than that. I don't know. It's pretty close, but it was it's rough. And coming into this one, TK, you got Kentucky, a 3.5-point favorite. over under 52.5 in Lexington. What are your thoughts on this game that kicks off at 7:30 Eastern on Saturday night?
Well, they're struggling running the ball, and I don't think it gets any easier coming into Lexington, Kentucky, dude. You're struggling running that thing on defenses that struggle, and then you're coming to see a Mark Stoops defense that gets after it play after play and brings the funk. And to your point, dude, you got to – we talk about it all the time, but, you got to be able to run the ball. But even bigger than that, they're putting so much pressure on Max Johnson, dude, to make every play possible when you're not running the ball. So it's I could see as an LSU fan how that could be frustrating, man. You got to be able to tote it. So –
Frustration is starting to boil over everywhere, TK, because you saw Ed Orgeron after the game kind of almost calling out his offensive coordinator for not being a little bit more dedicated to run the ball and things like that. But, I mean, you know, there seems to be dysfunction a lot in that program. And you can tell the seat's getting hot and the pressure's building. And, you know, what's the saying? Pressure either makes diamonds or burst pipes, you know. Yeah, so
pressure bust pipes.
So we'll see. It seems like those pipes are about to burst at LSU. But in terms of this game, TK, I think what you're going to see is I think you're going to see that Kentucky defense really heat up Max Johnson. They're going to come after that LSU offensive line and force, I think, Max Johnson to get rid of the ball early. So we're going to have to see if the Kentucky secondary can, you know, plaster to those receivers early on, play tight. And if here's the thing with LSU, if they turn the ball over even once or twice, because you saw Kentucky dominated, Florida dominated Kentucky in every statistical category in that game, TK. They outgained them 382 yards to 224. They had 211 passing yards to Kentucky's only 87, 171 rushing yards to Kentucky's 137. And Kentucky was only 1 of 9 on third down efficiency. So you might ask, how do they win the ball game? Well, they held them out of the end zone. They forced them to go for field goals and things like that. And then they blocked a field goal and ran it back for a touchdown. So a special teams touchdown and then a big goal line stand there at the end. Defensive efficiency in the red zone is big for Kentucky. And they're winning games, honestly, TK. This Kentucky team looks very similar to how Georgia was winning games a couple years ago. The offense was just really struggling, but that defense was standing up time after time, even with turnovers and sudden change. You realize Kentucky now in the last 2 weeks has held teams out of the end zone on four different sudden change possessions. So their defense is backed up in their own territory after a turnover, TK, and they don't give up points out of it. I mean, that's a remarkable stat.
No, it's huge. That is extremely impressive. But on the other side of that, the offense, Will Levis and this group has got to get going. They've got to get going. I mean, we talked about it last week, and one of our key notes was a guy named Wandale Robinson. And when you get him the ball, Will Jitterbug gets going, bro. So, They got to find a way to obviously get him more touches.
He scored on a screen pass, goes in Kentucky. He gets three touches the rest of the entire game. And that was right early on, I think, first or second possession for Kentucky. So, TK, yeah, they definitely got to get Wandale involved more.
100%, bro. If you've got a guy that can hit home at any point in time, he needs to touch the rock. So, because early on, again, we talked about it, their offense was rolling. So they can get back to that.
If LSU had any kind of running game and was able to sustain drives in a certain way, you know, I would think that they may even be, you know, favored in this game because because Kentucky's offense has just really struggled. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's really, really struggled. There's a lot of pressure on that defense. As good as that defense is, if they let's say they have a blown coverage or they have a play, a couple plays where they're out of position and LSU gets some quick scores, it's not going to be easy sledding for Kentucky to come back because they're not that kind of team right now. They have to run the ball and be methodical to get down the field. And honestly, they relied on their special teams to score in that game. But, you know, LSU gave up 163 yards rushing to Auburn. I think LSU is going to give up more rushing yards than that to Kentucky with Will Levis running the ball, with Chris Rodriguez running the ball. I think they're just absolutely – because their tackling, like you said, is horrendous over there.
They better give him more touches, Brad.
Yeah. So overall, I think you've got a team that is reeling in LSU. You got a team that knows their identity at Kentucky. They just have to have a little bit more execution on the offensive side of the ball. Get maybe use some max protection stuff, TK, and get Wandell Robinson and Josh Ali on some deep crosses and over routes, some play action, things like that. But if they're able to do that, 3.5-point favorite. I like Kentucky to win and to cover. I don't like the over. I think it's going to be a low scoring ball game because Kentucky is going to just absolutely stifle that LSU defense. So I'm going to say Kentucky wins this one 27-17. I'm going to take Kentucky over LSU at night game in Lexington. What's your prediction on this one?
Yeah, night game in Lexington. I don't like the over. I think it's going to be low scoring myself. I think Max Johnson and company have a tough go at it if they can't do it on the ground. So I'm going to take Kentucky 24-14.
24-14. We both like Kentucky by 10 in this game. So, I think the Wildcats are playing a good brand of football. Like I said, when it comes to Kentucky, man, Jaquez Jones, DeAndre Square, J.J. Weaver, he's got 4 sacks on the year, 6.5 tackles for a loss. Joshua Pascal is a freak up front. They got Devonta Robinson filling in up there. So I think it's really just going to be, can that secondary cover just long enough for guys like J.J. Weaver and stuff to get home against Max Johnson? Because I just don't think LSU is going to be able to run the ball any at all. Like, I'd be surprised if they have more than 50 rushing yards total in this game. And some of those may come from Max Johnson. So that's our prediction on LSU and Kentucky right there. And TK, I wanted to end with kind of a little final thought here tonight. And this is just for those that are maybe either interested in Florida, a fan of Florida or whatever. But I think Florida has a major problem on their hands, TK. And I think it's a lack of leadership. And the reason I say that is because TK, Dan Mullen is 3-5 in his last 8 games with Florida. Think about that. 3-5 in their last 8 games. And when you look at it, every time that Dan Mullen and his team have excuses, or let me start that over. Every time that Dan Mullen and his team lose a game, there's some kind of excuse that's coming from the head man. You know, it's not just we got beat or something like that. Last year at Texas A&M, it was, well, those stands sure looked like they were more than 25% full over there. It looked like they were cheating to pack them in with the crowd noise and all that kind of stuff. And then against Oklahoma getting blown out in the bowl game, the true Florida team really played its last game 11 days ago, saying that they had so many guys sitting out and stuff like that. Who cares? It's a Florida Gator on that helmet there, TK. There should be the same standard and amount of pride and things like that. Shouldn't allow a team to blow their doors off. And then somebody asked Dan Mullen about getting out coached on Saturday, and he should have said, absolutely, yes, we got outplayed, we got out coached, all that. He said, well, we had 382 yards, they had 211. It was his quote, was his response back. Let me tell you something. You're called to be a leader of men first and foremost when you're a head football coach. And if you're making excuses, TK, what does that say when you got as a player, if you see your head coach just making an excuse every time that you have a loss, not owning, saying the buck stops with me, we got to get better, stuff like that. What kind of message does that send you as a player?
Well, I mean, it kind of, there's no accountability there. you know, for your actions, for what you're doing. If the bottom line is winning the game, then that's what they're asking you about. Then you're not doing what you sought out to do. So, and there's a reason for it. Not picking and poking at excuses, but man, I think it really just comes down to accountability. It shows that you're not holding yourself accountable.
No doubt. And I mean, you add that on top of the dude on the sideline wearing his thing like this on the sideline over there, you know, on his face, just doing that kind of stuff on the sideline. I've had recruits, I cover recruiting TK, and I've had recruits off the record tell me that they couldn't go to Florida because it was just very awkward. I mean, it was like scenes from The Office awkward with Dan Mullen and that staff over there. So there's a lot of stuff to be concerned about, I think, if you're Florida Gator fans, because yes, is Dan Mullen a good schemer of offense at times? 100%. But so was Gus Malzahn. You see where he's moved on to now. So I think Florida's got some stuff to be concerned about. But guys, this has been our reaction Monday show. We did a little rapid reaction. We've also previewed LSU at Kentucky. We've previewed Arkansas at Ole Miss this week. On our Wednesday episode, make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and here on the 365 Sports YouTube channel, because on Wednesday, we're going to be going in depth on South Carolina, Tennessee, on the Deep South's oldest rivalry of Georgia and Auburn. TK, make sure to throw out a go dogs there. So Georgia, a 14.5-point favorite on that one. Tennessee, a 9.5-point favorite in Knoxville for a noon kickoff up there. So we'll go in detail on those. We're going to talk a little bit of recruiting stuff on Wednesday now in a new format there. We're changing it up a little bit on Wednesday. So talk a little bit of recruiting, give our power rankings of the SEC East and West. So make sure not to miss that. Like I said, this has been the Second and None podcast with Tavares King and Blaine Gilmer on the Believe Podcast Network, brought to you by Bet Online. And we will catch you on Wednesday for, like I said, some recruiting and some more game previews. It's week 6 already, and we'll catch you on Wednesday on the Second to None podcast.